Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I would like to welcome Dr. Jürgen Honig to share his thoughts on the impact of rapid globalization on the pharmaceutical industry from the perspective of addressing changing regulations and government policies. As we know, issues ranging from marketing authorization applications to market access to local and regional healthcare requirements and expectations to heightened consumer demand all impact the medicinal product lifecycle. Jürgen is Senior Director, Regulatory Business Intelligence, where he participates in the design of senior of regulatory affairs strategy, analyzes trends in the pharmaceutical and regulatory devices industries, and supports the interface between regulatory affairs and marketing and sales. Jürgen has been in the pharmaceutical industry for nearly 25 years and previously was a pharmacist. He has a PhD and an undergraduate degree in pharmacy. Welcome, Jürgen, and thank you for taking the time to share your knowledge of the rapidly changing global regulatory environment.
Thank you, Kim, for the kind introduction. It is a pleasure to speak with you about the impact globalization is having on the pharmaceutical industry. I'm sure that the discussion will inspire the audience to think about new approaches, especially with regard to globally oriented regulatory strategies.
Thank you, Jürgen. Perhaps we can begin with an overview of the global pharmaceutical industry. Just how global is the industry today, and what does that mean in terms of drug development and manufacturing?
Very good question, Kim. The pharmaceutical industry has been globalizing for many years as demand for medicinal products grows and as companies look to expand into large and increasingly prosperous emerging markets. Today, research and development is conducted on nearly every continent and not only by large pharma companies. In fact, a growing number of regional and domestic drug companies are carrying out R&D, and these companies now make up to 20% in the industry's market share. If we consider manufacturing, there are now more than 300,000 manufacturing facilities based in more than 150 countries. It's becoming common for active pharmaceutical ingredients in drugs to be manufactured outside a company's jurisdiction. We are starting to see emerging economies become engines of economic growth with huge demand for medicinal goods and services. For example, China has been cited as the world's second largest country by pharmaceutical spending, while countries in Latin America, Asia Pacific, and Africa and the Middle East are well witnessing large spending growth. Of course, all of this does mean dealing with complex and ever-changing regulations and government policies that can vary across jurisdictions.
That would definitely bring challenges. I imagine various jurisdictions have tightened their regulations and policies to ensure products are beneficial, safe, and available for patients, and of course, to improve how information is shared. Are there efforts to streamline processes between regulatory authorities, perhaps through collaboration or other agreements?
There are definitely harmonization, convergence, or simply collaborative opportunities that companies can take advantage of. And these will help to simplify drug development and approval processes by making sure products are safe and effective. One example is the Access Consortium, which was established to promote collaboration among regulators across different geographic regions, as well as better alignment of requirements for assessment and approval of medicinal products. The UK, Canada, Australia, Switzerland, and Singapore are all members of this consortium, which has a stated goal of improving cooperation, reducing regulatory duplication, and increasing each agency's capacities to ensure consumers have timely access to safe and effective medicinal products. Another example is Project Orbis, which was established in 2019 by the FDA oncology center of excellence to help improve access to new treatments for patients with cancer. It's fair to say that Project Orbis is a model for regulatory collaboration that is taking shape around the world, and one that reminds us that although harmonization is progressing, albeit slowly, collaboration is the key to real change.
These are definitely exciting developments. Are emerging countries also striving to collaborate more?
Aside from the ICH, which helps to drive greater uniformity across its many participating regulatory bodies, there are a number of strategic and coordinated approaches between regulatory authorities in various regions. For example, the Life Science Innovation Forum, LSIF, a group within the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation, EPEC, focuses on bringing together representatives of government, the industry, and academia to promote life science innovation. In addition, a committee known as the Regulatory Harmonization Steering Committee, established within LSIF, seeks to promote a coordinated approach to medical product regulatory harmonization, convergence, and capacity building efforts within the APEC region.
What are some key objectives with these various efforts to harmonize or reach formal agreement between authorities? And could you perhaps offer some examples of health authorities that are actually doing this?
Well, in the case of the LSIF committee, some objectives are to ensure supply chain integrity, product quality, pharmacovigilance, and good registration management. There has also been some level of formal recognition between the EU and the US, as well as regional integration within the EU. Here, the focus has been on improving transparency and alignment of interactions among agencies and between industry and various regulatory authorities. There's also an emphasis on harmonizing inspection criteria and harmonizing marketing authorization applications and approval timelines, as well as post-approval processes. It is also important to note that the ICH has been at the forefront of harmonization and standard development, for example, in the areas of good manufacturing practice and pharmacovigilance activities, and the creation of the ECDD and the standard medical terminology MITRA. In addition, the WHO and the International Federation of Pharmaceutical Manufacturers and Association have been involved in the regulatory harmonization efforts designed to increase access to medicine in the developing world.
This sounds hugely promising for a more streamlined approach. However, undoubtedly, differences remain. Where and in what ways do specific national requirements continue?
The difference can depend on jurisdictions and priorities. For example, in rapidly developing markets across Asia, the Middle East and Africa, and also Latin America, the priority is balancing public health requirements with cost. In the EU, despite the EMA seeking to develop a consistent approach to vaccine regulation, there are varying requirements and expectations across the various member states in areas that are managed at the national level. For example, the advertising of medicinal products is quite broad and embraces any action of information sharing or customer research intended to promote the prescription, supply, sale, or consumption of such product. The principles that underpin responsible advertising and promotion often get fleshed out in detail on a national level through self-regulation and adherence to industry codes of practice, reflecting the norms, lifestyles, and societal preferences of local markets.
That obviously creates some complexities for companies. What does this mean for a global product rollout?
Very challenging. That's a good question. It really means that you need to have a local regulatory intelligence on the ground expertise in all the markets in which you are operating. Without it, you may struggle to adhere to local requirements, and it will be harder to effectively interact with the local health authorities. Let's take as an example of pharmacovigilance, where most regulators require a local contact person who is a citizen and physically located in that country. Local contacts generate additional value by helping companies handle those local nuances. Their role can include anything from facilitating successful product launches to handling commercialization tasks throughout the whole product lifecycle. Ideally, those local contact resources should be given the flexibility to tailor their activities locally while still operating within a well-structured international organization within a proven quality framework.
Regulatory differences and collaborations aside, what would you say is the most challenging area for industry to deal with, particularly as it relates to navigating different market requirements?
I think many companies that have thought to bring products to the market would say pricing and reimbursement. Yet, this remains one of the least understood areas in the drug development journey. Even in supposedly single markets like the European Union, pricing and reimbursement discussions for market access require separate negotiations with each country. Each market expects proof that a product has clinical and economic benefits, and that means showing clinical differentiation and its effect on healthcare outcomes and resource utilization on optimization. To do that, companies must understand and analyze the competitive landscape to determine how their product improves patient outcomes or reduces the burden on the patient and the healthcare system. The way healthcare is paid for varies significantly across markets, so companies need to know who will finance the therapy and the mechanism by which the care will be reimbursed. They need to take a more holistic view of patient treatment and provide better real-world evidence to offer a stronger value proposition for decision makers. Companies should also consider seeking advice from physicians, particularly key opinion leaders in the relevant therapeutic area. And all these steps should start early on to manage any potential roadblocks well before the therapy is ready for the market.
Thank you for joining me today, Jürgen, and for sharing your deep and broad understanding of the global pharmaceutical industry and the regulatory and market access issues companies must deal with. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Please do make sure to subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.